All right, good morning, everybody. First, thank you for joining us this morning. Happy to be able to provide you all with some content during this slow news week. It's good to be here. I wanted to take this opportunity to provide a few reflections on the results of the election earlier this week. To begin with, I want to highlight some really positive news from the election, which is that this election once again was administered in a way that was free and fair and safe and secure. There were a few hiccups that we had in Wisconsin. That's not unusual for there to be small issues that arise. But by and large, we had an election that went smoothly. And we have results that Wisconsinites can count on. That's not unusual in Wisconsin. I have talked over the years about how our system works well and how it can be trusted. I'm glad to see following this election, unlike the 2020 election, that there have not been attacks, baseless attacks on the integrity of the election. It's good to see that people are respecting the outcome. And I am hopeful that one of the results of this election will be that the baseless attacks we have seen and election denialism will finally be put to rest. The reality is that our system works regardless of who has won the elections. I would also like to congratulate the many candidates who won elections this year and thank those who ran. There are going to be some notable changes as a result of this election, both at the state level and at the federal level. In the state, the composition of the state legislature is going to be changing dramatically. I believe that Democrats picked up 10 seats in the state assembly. They picked up 4 seats in the state senate. So we're going to be looking at a much more evenly divided state legislature that much more closely reflects the political divide in the state of Wisconsin. I'm looking forward to working with members of the legislature on a number of different topics, but topics that will help us make progress for Wisconsinites. That includes working to get needed funding for the Office of School Safety, funding for the state crime labs, and funding for victim service programs that are facing severe cuts both across the state of Wisconsin and across the country. Now, with the election of Donald Trump, there's of course going to be significant policy change at the federal level. And that's how our system is supposed to work. Elections lead to changes in policy. Where there's room for agreement, I hope that the new administration will seek to find common ground. We all want our communities to be safe. We all want a healthy and growing economy. We all want our nation to be strong. And we should all be willing to work across the aisle when it's in the best interests of the people that we serve. I also think it's notable that Donald Trump went out of his way to distance himself from the agenda set forth in Project 2025. I think he said he had never heard of it or never read it. He asserted that he wouldn't support and, in fact, would veto a national abortion ban. He recently indicated that he's not thinking about repealing the Affordable Care Act. And his supporters have vociferously rejected the idea that he poses a danger to our democracy. At the same time, there's justified concern that a Trump administration could take a very different path from the one I just mentioned. I know that folks are worried about what the future holds for women's ability to make their own reproductive health care decisions, about access to affordable health care more broadly, and about whether people may be targeted by the new administration based on their identity, their speech, and their viewpoints, or simply for doing their jobs as an election worker or a reporter. So let me be clear. Those kinds of actions are wrong, and we are committed at the Department of Justice to standing up against them. While this election will result in a policy shift at the federal level, it did not change a single word of the U.S. Constitution. A top priority of mine at the Department of Justice has been and will remain protecting the rights of Wisconsinites. And we've done a lot of that during my time as Attorney General. My first 2 years as AG were during the first Trump administration, and we challenged a number of Trump administration policies where those policies were contrary to the best interests of the people of Wisconsin and inconsistent with the law. We often worked together with other AGs around the country, and frequently we won those cases. For example, opposing efforts to roll back efforts to address climate change. We've also worked to protect people's rights in the state of Wisconsin. We've consistently protected the freedom to vote in this state, including working to uphold the results of the 2020 presidential election, standing up to the Gableman investigation, and as we will be doing in the Supreme Court in a short amount of time, standing up to protect the fair administration of our elections against an attempt to fire the administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission. Likewise, we've worked to protect reproductive freedom in Wisconsin. And next Monday, our office will be in the state Supreme Court arguing about what the 1849 law that we have all become familiar with means for abortion access in Wisconsin. So we have been tested in this office. We are prepared to defend the rights of Wisconsinites if necessary. And let me say that if the new administration infringes upon the freedoms of Wisconsinites or attempts to use our system of justice as a tool for vengeance, we will act. We will act to protect the best interests of the people of the state of Wisconsin. We'll act to uphold equal justice under the law. And we will act to defend Wisconsinites' freedoms. So thank you all for joining me. With that, I'm happy to open it up to questions.
Attorney General, are you investigating any of the racist attacks that are being sent from federal members statewide?
We've become aware of some of the text messages that have gone out. And I know that these are not just in Wisconsin. There are other states where this has happened as well. Anybody sending harassing or threatening text messages is completely unacceptable. And anybody making racist statements or bigoted statements in text messages is something we cannot tolerate. I encourage anybody who has information about those texts to contact local law enforcement. I think it's important that there's an appropriate law enforcement response, and what that will be will depend on the nature of the information that law enforcement receives.
The chief of police in Kenosha has said that all the red flags were there for this 13-year-old boy who tried to enter an elementary school with a gun, allegedly. Was your office of school safety aware of this boy before this incident happened, and where do you think the response to this incident could have gone better?
Well, what I can say is that I know that our office has been in contact with the school district in the wake of this incident. One of the things that we have preached with respect to the Office of School Safety and the work that it does is the importance of getting information from students and others who first see concerning information to trusted adults. That's why we have a 24/7 tip line, the Speak Up, Speak Out program. But we also want to encourage anybody who has concerning information to reach out. The more that we can have positive interventions happen early, the less likely it is that an incident's going to occur. The other thing our Office of School Safety has been engaged in is working to provide training and guidance to schools around the state on the prevention of targeted violence. There is a pathway that people who engage in targeted violence go on, and the earlier in that pathway we can intervene, the safer our communities are. So that's what I can speak to at this point in time.
There are tens of millions of dollars spent on anti-trans ads in this election cycle, and I'm curious if you can talk about how you will ensure that all Wisconsinites, youth, trans youth, and parents of trans youth can go forward with safety and health in mind.
Yeah, well, first of all, I will say on a personal level that I found a lot of the campaign commercials we saw deeply concerning, targeting people based on their identity or any other number of factors is inconsistent with our values. I also think it's notable that the states where there was the most campaigning happening, the swing states, if you compare 2024's results to 2020, that's actually where Kamala Harris did the best relative to Donald Trump. So in the states where those kinds of commercials were running, as well as the Harris commercials, Republicans underperformed. And I hope that sends a message that those types of messages are not ones that resonate with people. Look, we are committed at the Wisconsin Department of Justice to standing up for the rights of all Wisconsinites. And in the event that there are efforts to target people based on their identity that are unlawful and we are able to take action, we're committed to doing that.
Josh, one of the things Donald Trump said during the campaign was that he was going to enlist the National Guard in Republican-led states to help with this mass deportation. And in a state like Wisconsin, which he didn't name, but he said in states that aren't run by Republicans, he would send in the Guard from other states to go do whatever. How would you think about such an action happening in Wisconsin, a National Guard from another state coming in?
Well, first, let me just say, I think seeing what rhetoric from the campaign translates into policy actions is going to be an important task for all of us. As I mentioned in my remarks, you know, there are a lot of different issues that were raised in the campaign, and I think we could see very different approaches taken by this administration. I don't think anybody thinks that the administration isn't going to, you know, be able to take action on some of the issues that were talked about. A key issue, for example, was inflation, and I think we would all like to see the Trump administration take action to reduce prices. At the same time, you know, there were a number of other comments made that even within the Republican Party got pushback. You know, Ron Johnson said not long ago that he didn't think that kind of mass deportation effort was going to happen. So I think it remains to be seen what's coming. In terms of our approach, what we are going to do is to make sure that the laws and the Constitution are followed. You know, I think everybody wants to have an orderly and a safe process with our immigration system and a process that's fair. I think it's critical that we protect people's rights in that process and we ensure that there's due process. So we will see how things unfold. You know, the idea of having a National Guard from one state going into another state is not something that I think any governor, I shouldn't say that, that's probably too broad, but I think most governors of either party don't want to see. At the end of the day, we are one nation, and following an election, we should try to come together, find common ground, and figure out how we can make progress, not divide people state by state based on National Guards or other topics.
Are there lessons from the first Trump administration you're going to take going into multi-state litigation? I mean, Wisconsin joined and initiated a number of lawsuits, but not as many as, say, California or New York. Are you expecting to be more aggressive this time around?
I think we'll continue to work together with other AG's offices as we confront challenges that arise. You know, the first 2 years of the Trump administration, I was not in office, and the policy at the Department of Justice was quite different than it was during my first 2 years in office, which were the last 2 years of the first Trump administration. But there's going to be a lot of action taken, I think, by the Trump administration quickly. To the extent that action is inconsistent with the law, and it's contrary to the interests of Wisconsinites, that's where we would get involved. Our goal is to protect Wisconsinites, and if that means working with other states or taking a lead on something, we're going to assess how best we can approach it and take that action.
Anti-abortion groups have criticized Planned Parenthood for providing abortions in Wisconsin while your lawsuit over the 19th century law is still pending. Is Planned Parenthood acting legally right now?
Well, right now we have a decision from the Circuit Court in Dane County, the only court that has addressed this issue, and it found that the 1849 law does not apply to consensual abortions. The court also issued a declaratory judgment confirming that fact. So we have a ruling from a court finding that there is not a broad ban on abortion as a result of the 1849 law. Now, that case is going to be heard by the state Supreme Court. But if there was anybody, if the other side in that case had wanted to stop that judgment from being in effect, folks could have sought to stay that decision. That didn't happen. So right now, that's the guiding principle we have on the law. And my understanding is that the actions Planned Parenthood has taken are consistent with that.
If Congress is able to enact nationwide restrictions on abortion, what actions could the Wisconsin Attorney General's office take? What actions would you consider pursuing?
Well, it would depend on the specifics of any legislation that was passed, but in light of the Dobbs decision, there is no federal constitutional protection provided for abortion that goes beyond the basic protections we have with any laws that are enacted. And so the passage of a federal abortion ban would have enormous consequences for abortion access in Wisconsin and in other states where there currently is access. So I don't want to give people false hope that if there is a federal abortion ban passed, that there's likely to be a successful legal challenge. I think on the contrary, if Congress does pass a ban, people are looking at having their access to safe and legal abortion taken away. I don't want to see that happen.
Does Trump's election make it more or less likely that he would run for re-election as Attorney General in 2 years?
You know, I think that I feel confident in saying that the last thing that most Wisconsinites are focused on right now is future elections, myself included, sorry.
I'm focused on it.
I appreciate that, Scott, but right now our focus is very much on reacting to the results of this election. Of course, we have a lot of work we do at the Department of Justice that is not meaningfully impacted by election results, and we're going to continue doing that work effectively. But also making sure that the rights and freedoms of Wisconsinites are protected going forward, and making sure that we are prepared for how to do that as we move into the next administration is our focus right now. All right. Well, thank you all for being here. Have a good weekend, everybody.